Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Yaffa, Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Bechoros Mem Aleph, Bechoros 41a, pagination is 81. In summation of the previous Mishnayos that listed off many different types of mumin, blemishes that could be in an animal, which would invalidate them from being brought in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore would authorize the shechita of a firstborn kosher animal at this point, because it can no longer be brought as a karban. So therefore you'd be able to shecht it. So the Mishnah states on the second line of the daf, in summation, al elu mumin shochtin es habachar upsulei hamikdashim niftin aleihem, these types of mumin that are listed would authorize the shechita of a firstborn animal. And in a similar vein, if an animal meant to be a karban would have one of these mumin, they could be redeemed at this point because they can no longer be brought as a karban. Says the Mishnah at the end of the smaller lines, ve'elu she'ein shochtem aleihem, lo b'mikdash v'lo b'medina. And here is a list of invalidations which would make it impossible to bring this karban in the Beis HaMikdash, but it still would not authorize its shechita outside of the Beis HaMikdash. These are not the same types of mumin blemishes, as we will see. On the second wide line, shenevda bo avera, an avera was done with it. Rashi says, shenirva, that a man lived with this animal, did such an act. So it's invalid, but it's not blemished in the sense of the types of blemishes that we've been describing. Likewise, v'shehemis adam, al pied echad, al pied abaylim, or the animal killed somebody. So you will ask, of course, but we're not shechting it to be able to use it if it killed somebody, so we should be killing it. And the answer the Mishnah gives is that it was only one witness, or the owner is the one who witnessed this problem. So therefore the animal is invalid to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, but it's not the type of mum that would allow a bechor to be shecht in our time. In addition, the Mishnah states, v'tumtum v'androgynous. Now, I don't know if we've addressed this in previous Take 10 for Talmuds. It's not the typical topic that we tend to choose. But tumtum is a person with non-defined, non-clear-to-us genitals, so we're not clear if it's if the person is male or female. Androgynous is the case where it actually, the person has both male and female genital appearance, and therefore it has unusual status. Over here we're talking about an animal of such, it was meant to be a karban, but it's tumtum status or androgynous status, lo b'mikdash v'lo b'medina. It can't be brought in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's not the type of mum that will enable us to shecht it either. The Mishnah quotes a dissenting opinion, Rabbi Yishmael, the way it's edited on the side. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, ein lecha mum gadol mizeh. There's nothing greater than such a mum. That's a mum. Let's focus on the case of androgynous. It has the genitals of the other gender. That's a mum. V'chachamim omrim, eino b'chor. And the chachamim say, it's not that it's a zachar, a male, firstborn, but it has a mum. It's not a b'chor. This male, female genital appearance is alanigzas venevad. You can even shear it and use it for work, it's not considered a male in the sense of a firstborn male kosher animal has holiness status. Let's turn the page, and the first words on the page, Bo'i Rava. Rava asked the following question. Now, the topic of androgynous, where both genital appearance exists, is an intriguing topic. It's a challenging topic. It's actually the name of the last perek in Bikurim, in the end of Seder Zra'im, and actually makes for an interesting situation that anybody who's making a siyum on Zra'im ends up celebrating with the last Mishnayis of that topic. It would seem that if one chose to and feels that the audience would gain more Torah, one can continue chazering the Seder until they perchance choose a different Mishnah to be their concluding Mishnah. But that's a topic of siyumim. In any case, it's a very real topic. Androgynous might also have some medical bearing in our time with the topic that has been thrust upon us by modern medicine and the mores of society regarding sex changes, and the concept that just because you did surgery, even if you would do surgery, wouldn't change the androgynous from their presentation if it's recognized as an entity. In other words, if you have male and female presentation, the mere fact that you cut one out doesn't suddenly change the status of the person. The person was born with a certain type of neshama, with a certain type of mission, and as unusual as it may be, but it's an androgynous. Doing surgery isn't going to change that any more than on a regular male or female. God forbid, cutting off genitals doesn't change them from being male or female. The same thing would be applied in the case of someone who went off, did a sex change, and now we have to deal with the question of which side of the mechitza they should be on if they choose to come to shul or the like. What is their wiring? What is their essence? So the fact that a medical procedure was done is not going to change the status. Boi Rava, Rava asks the question, my taima de Rabbi Yishmael, what is the logic of Rabbi Yishmael, who says that it's a bechor, it seems, but it's ein lecha mum gadol mizeh, but it's coming with its mum, with its blemish, and we do recognize the second set of genitals as a mum in this animal. Mifshat pshita lei androgynous bechor hu umumo uimo. Does Rabbi Yishmael hold that an androgynous is a bechor? It's defined as a male, but it has a mum. Odilma, or maybe sifuki misapkale, it's a sense of doubt. The imtim tzalomar komar, what Rabbi Yishmael was saying is, even if you will argue, imtim tzalomar becharu, that it is a bechar, meaning it's considered a male, hare mumo imo, it has a blemish, so you could check it. Lamay nafkamina, what's the difference, splitting hairs as we express it? Like, what are you making a big deal with your question? Difference is dramatic. Number one, lemilka ale mishim giza va'avoda. If a person would go ahead and shear this animal or use it for work, if it's not clear, so then you can't give malchus, you can't punish the person for doing such a violation. It's not clear to us that it's a violation. We're not sure that it's male. If it's clear to you that it's male, just you're not sure that you have to pursue it as a karbon, it has a mum. So then it's going to be forbidden in giza va'avoda, in shearing and work, just that it has a mum, so you're allowed to shecht it. Inami, or another example, lemesva lekohen, whether you have to give it to the kohen. If you know that it's a bechor, it has male status, so it has the kedusha, so then you have to give it to the kohen, and the kohen will have the discussion. If it's a mum, he can shecht it. But if you have a question, if it's a bechor, meaning if it's a male and has the holiness of bechor, so then you wouldn't have to give it to the kohen, because as Rashi says, it's hamotze mechavera olav harayo, it's a financial issue over here, whether the owner can keep it or he has to give it to the kohen. Either way, they're going to be able to shecht it. Question is, who will be able to shecht it and who gets the meat? If it's recognized as male, then you have to follow through and give it to the kohen, and he'll benefit from the fact that it has a mum and he's able to shecht it. If we're not even sure that it's a male, so then the Yisrael owner would not have to give it to the kohen. The Gemara continues Tashma with proofs, which is beyond our scope for this session, but this concept definitely exists in the Talmud. As I mentioned, it's the last perek of Zerayim in a quite significant way, and may also bear on different medical situations that are presented in modern times. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.